everybody. Let's all radiate together. You've tuned into Radiance by Design. I'm Veronica Entwistle. Looking forward to talking to you. As you well know, this is a call-in show, and I'm really looking forward to hearing what's going on in your world. Have you noticed how kind of goofy some of the energy fields are? How have you experienced them? I know Mercury's retrograde, but I don't think that's all that's retrograde. You know what I mean? Because sometimes I suddenly get these, huge, remember when some of us who have already been through menopause, you know, we'll talk about these power surges. Sometimes that's what happens in me. I get these power surges. And when I first opened up as an intuitive, I got a lot of that going on, kind of really deep and very intense kind of rushing energies running through my body. And I also found that at times it felt like my head was being drilled in, and I was receiving electrical currents somehow. It was really strange. So I don't know what any of your experiences are as you wake up to your intuition. But on the other hand, I think that thinking about things these days, we're talking about downloads of energy from the universe, right? We're talking about a lot of people going through huge changes, feeling either stymied because life the way it was isn't manageable for them right now. And big dreams are manifesting. These really odd, very big changes. People are losing, people are winning, but most of the people that I know of right now are being faced with sort of a change in direction or a change in how they see themselves and want to take themselves in the world. And it's really interesting. Sometimes it's people who are in long-term jobs, and that's happening in the context of the job, or the home and family, their lineage, or whatever, you know. Some people are, I guess we're using the term awakening on a massive level. So many people are awakening. And it's a really interesting question to ask yourself what exactly that is. And if you are awakening, which means that you're receiving these consciousness-inducing frequencies that are coming through the universe, or they're coming through the effects of avatars and great teachers at this time who are transmitting what we call diksha or energy fields in order to activate your own inner, what would we call it? We each are born with this kind of amazing pool of energies inside, and we all have gifts, and we all have a ton of old reactions. They say babies are born, oh, it's a clean slate. And I go, yeah, right. I think a lot of us came in practically hoarding volumes and volumes of our own history on some level, or even the history of humanity and various social structures we've lived in so long. And the short of it is, awakening is kind of knowing that we aren't the reactions that propel us into the world. We aren't our defenses. We aren't our karma, if you will, our leftover guilts and shame. That's not who we are. Who we are is an amazing, transformative being. It's a very, very, I guess I would say a very delicate thing to be able to be a very transformative being, and knowing that all of that stuff doesn't really matter. What really matters is setting yourself free from a very deep place and allowing the expression of what you are and what you can be to meet the promptings of your own higher guidance and angels and those beings of light that surround so many of us. Where does the awakening come from? Well, we've heard of it for thousands of years. It's been predicted, and I can't remember who predicted it. I think it's the Incas and Black Elk, and I mean, there's a lot of great names, and I never sort of hold those, that lexicon of who said what, in my conscious mind. I'm sure it's in there somewhere. But so many of them say that we're going to wake up somewhere around this time and realize that we don't have to keep living this incredible enslavement by what Peter Calhoun calls it, that there's a global, he calls it a global elite, or I'm not sure if he called it global, that kind of keeps this skin of limitation around our entire planet, which keeps people walking with a hunched shoulder and a feeling inside their mind that they cannot reach beyond what's been trained to them. It sort of reminds me of baby elephants who are tied up, learn when they're humongous elephants to be held in place by a little string, which when you see it is proportionally out of whack. I mean, you could pull it apart in a heartbeat. But just like that, we are trained and tethered by old experiences and by this, I used to say, I hate the conspiracy stuff. But in any case, what I'm saying is that there are power issues being promoted on us that keep us smaller and that keep us, instead of reaching for the moon, we're just wandering around hoping to pay our bills, to pay the IRS. And, you know, it's really kind of interesting how many people don't stretch themselves to have that incredible inner presentation, that inner part of you that knows how vaulted you are and how amazing you can be, but you don't think of reaching into the world because it doesn't pay and it doesn't work in the structure. I find it really interesting. And we were raised, some of us were raised Catholic. I know a lot of people who were raised Catholic. And it's funny because doing all my interviews with Paradigm Shifters and talking, and I've said this before, I think, talking with Jack Hawley about his rewriting of the Bhagavad Gita in order to help us digest it. It's very interesting that it's saying that what we're trying to do as human beings is live bigger and beyond the confinements of jealousy, greed, unmitigated rage, and what we call as Catholics the seven deadly sins: pride, covetousness, lust, anger, gluttony, envy, and sloth. I can remember because we had to learn it for catechism. But it's so interesting because I go, okay, Bhagavad Gita started off somewhere around 8,000 years ago. And the principles that they're trying to move beyond, especially greed, are or any of those principles like jealousy, what's the word they say, coveting, all of that stuff, we're busy doing that instead of feeling that we're allowed to present our unique dharma and give it, impose it, if you will, or imbue the collective with our share of consciousness. That takes consciousness, doesn't it? Because if you're functioning from a fear-based principle like competition, and a lot of us are raised to be competitive, but if you're coming from a fear-based drive like that, guess what? You don't show your real, real nature. You don't get to your true nature in this lifetime. It's fascinating, isn't it? But what would happen if we start to move through these changes and we get to our truer nature? What would you be if that were the case? I wonder how to get there, too. Well, I don't always wonder. I think I know some things, and maybe I don't know very much at all. But my understanding is, for example, if you're talking about competition or comparing yourself to other people, either what they have, how they look, how they are apparently secure, how they apparently are of a higher social standing than you, if you're comparing yourself, then that takes up a whole lot of your consciousness, doesn't it? And so where is that part of you that gets it? How much of that part of you that is really uniquely you, the only one in the universe that's you, gets to spend attention into and onto its own self? Isn't it amazing? We're busy kind of jostling and elbowing with other people and grabbing what we can so we can keep it, so that we'll have a little more and we'll be more secure than other people. Or we can hang on to life the way we think we devised it. What is success? I'm fascinated lately because I was talking about these power surges and I'm talking about the rambunctious universal energies coming through. And a lot of us are talking about the political hoo-ha that's going on. I keep saying we're living in the book of Revelations. And in that book of Revelations, there's a whole bunch of destruction coming to, what, the planet, because we aren't behaving well. Well, look around. I mean, look around. We've got corruption. We've got protection of our country not protecting us at all. Au contraire, it's kind of hurting us. Or the people that are in politics or the media that could be the source of incredible wisdom for people is taking our heads and using it to sell gum, lipstick. You know what I mean? Monica Lewinsky, whatever. I'm being a kind of a brat here. Anyway, what I wanted to do was talk about who's really you and how can you come up with your real truth in the world and what it is you want to be and do. I'm not saying run out and quit your job and sit around and meditate, because that isn't exactly practical, because there might be a time gap in there, right? But I do feel that back to, I recently did some small studies of Tibetan Pewa, which is their system of dying. And it's a system of using meditation in such a way as that by the time you die, you've cleared all your karma or the subconscious drives that keep us being afraid, being competitive, having had experiences that prevent us from being truly ourselves. We've all had those, haven't we? And that whole, the Tibetan system is geared to becoming conscious of the kinds of thoughts and feelings you have at any given time and how they restrict your ability to clean out of yourself your attachment or identification with a lot of karmic stuff. That means you face your issues. If I'm feeling competitive with you, I have to go inside and really feel. I'm using jealousy and competition because they're ugly. But guess what? Everybody's got them. Ha, ha, ha. So I'm using those because they're really basic. They're really mundane and they're really horrible. And if I'm feeling competitive with you at some level, I want you to be the heck out of the way. I don't want you to be happy. I don't want you to succeed. And, you know, if you can bring that up and really feel it, and sometimes when you do that, you'll sweat. Oof! It'll feel so awful, so uncomfortable, your whole endocrine system will go, meh! And you'll start to sweat and writhe, if you will. But if you bring those feelings up and then keep bringing them up and bringing them up and allow yourself to consciously look at them, oh, my goodness, it's amazing how it clears out that. Somebody was calling it clearing out the cache. I think it was Galexis talking about when you finally get sick somewhere, that sickness clears out the cache in whatever organ it's in, kind of thing. That means all the storage of all these leftover reactions. I know from my own personal experience, when I can sit into things that I've done wrong, that I'm embarrassed about, some of them take me quite a while. But usually I go through incredible changes in temperature, in skin dampness, skin tone, all kinds of weird things, or sometimes my hair feels all itchy and weird. So I bring it up and feel it. And sometimes you can command total release of it or hand it to God. But basically you don't usually have to. Usually it'll start clearing itself. It starts releasing itself and leaves room for more of your pure nature to come on up. More of your soul journey. What did I read recently? It was another Tibetan little meditation book I picked up. And it was so interesting. They were talking about all this karmic stuff and all this leftover stuff. They said, don't think it's awful. There's no point sitting and judging the things that you've done that prevent you from really being safe and free with other people. There's no point anything like that. But they say build up your awareness in such a way as to spread it like manure on the entire crops of your life, meaning it's material that is the product of digesting all that, and then you take it and you spread it to nurture the new sprouts of other parts of life. I thought that was kind of an interesting analogy. Who would have thought it was manure? Anyway, so that was a long diatribe, but I'm so conscious of the crazy energies these days and how some things are just not working for a lot of people, and there appears to be chaos. So the final comment I want to make here is that it's very difficult when the energy fields are coming at us like that for us to stay at the helm of what was a secure existence. Instead, we have to at some point surrender, and this is different for each of us, depending on what you're clinging to or holding on to that you didn't even really care about, but it made you say, all of that kind of stuff seems to be getting rattled in people. And it is the gift of these, it's like acupuncture on a major universal level, isn't it, in a lot of ways, The fields are moving up, the frequencies are moving up, everything is moving way faster, and we're receiving prods from universal energy flows. Woo-hoo! Where does it all go? I think it's waking us up. We're divinely guided beings who think we're guided by Disneyland. Well, we're not, you know, except for the imagination part, right? So anyway, this is Veronica Entwistle saying, I am so looking forward to you calling in tonight, so let's all join one another for a meditation. Remember, we do our group meditation so we can have a coherent field, and with all these energies disrupting things, it can make you feel protected. It's kind of a like an amniotic fluid in a way. It can make you feel protected and supported, and it also can help melt some of those tensions around your body mind that keep you running old patterns, you know? So let's do it all together, and we can love one another as this motley community here on the earth, here connected by global radio and intention and heart. So here we go. Let's look above you and see there a golden ball, a beautiful golden ball. I just see so many guides and angels around us all right now. It's beautiful. Up above you see a golden ball, but too much. And below you find another golden ball. And drop a filament of light from the golden ball down to your spine into a golden ball. And from the golden ball to the waist height of a four-sided gold pyramid. It'll be out 40-60 feet. And then upside down, on base of base, another gold pyramid goes into the lower golden ball. Now there you are inside of it. And it's an eight-sided figure called an octahedron. Good. Can you see that? And now inside of that, there's a crystal ball, and you're creating it, and it's multispectral. Wow, beautiful. Woo! And inside of that, there you are in a star tetrahedron. Okay, I say it's a three-dimensional Star of David, which isn't exactly right, but at least that's close enough at this point. And you've got, you're skewered with this beautiful filament of light. You've got a star tetrahedron around you. Outside of that is a crystal ball. And outside of that is your octahedron. And now I want you to spin and spin and spin in your star. Spin and spin. Good. As soon as I start spinning, I feel like my body's going, does yours? And now look, while you're spinning in front of you, there's a magical screen, and on that screen, we're going to create some movies. And the first movie is all about you. What is it you want to become? Yeah. I would say I want to become consciously multidimensional and come from the heart. I really do. I really want to be in my true nature as well. I want a lot, right? And I see myself becoming that. You see yourself becoming whatever it is you want to become. Good work. And now when you get there and you seem to see in your movie that you're becoming that. Good. Wrap it in light. Move it over to the left. And now, on the second screen, we're going to build a project. You're going to become, that's it, you're going to build a project. And the project could be a book, a movie, a house, a love relationship. It could be a business, anything you really want. So see all the resources, the people, the time, the incentive, the joie de vivre, coming together so that you can create your project with great success. Excellent. See it all coming together? Oh my goodness. Yeah. And all the pieces come together and you go, woohoo! And now you want to see a continuation. You want your progress to continue. What I mean is you want your project to sustain itself for as long as it wants to live. And so you see the resources, the people, the time. Supporting your project until its time is done. And don't you feel successful? good. And now when you feel like that's really perking nicely, move it over to the side. Wrap it in light, because it can keep it perking, you know. And now we're going to do the Galactic Healing Center. And the Galactic Healing Center is, there's a beautiful healing table. And all around it, you've got a healing team. And they're members of your own galactic team, okay? We all have wonderful beings of many levels of consciousness around us, ready to help us. So the first person that comes in and jumps on the table is you. In my case, me. Thanks for calling. Just hang on till we're done the meditation, okay? Thanks. And so you lie on the table and ask for what it is you want. Mm-hmm. What kind of healing do you need, and what is it do you want? Excellent. And notice how they just step forward, and you feel it. You feel the energy buzzing through your body. Good job. Wow, I really feel it strongly. Do you? They seem to know what to do. Now wrap that in light, move it over to the side, and then we're going to invite some characters that you want to help, or people who want to volunteer are going to come in. So we have a fresh table, and our healing team is very magical, so it can replicate itself. And I'm bringing in a dear, dear, dear friend who's got an incredible knee problem. She can't afford to get knee replacements, and her knees are bone on bone, and it's really quite a challenge for her. We've been sending light. I'm asking the healing team to tell us how to do that. All of us have knee issues because your knee holds. Each organ in your body has got some kind of subject, doesn't it? And the knee holds fear and flexibility. And it's a part of the security, how you're held up in your life, and the flexibility, and whether you're held up and whether you have to hold them or can they just stay lubricated. I know, see, I'm looking at a bunch of you, and your legs are very shaky, some of you, aren't they? And that's because your legs are exaggerating for me how you feel so unsupported at this time in your life, or maybe ever, or maybe when you were a child. So here's my friend, who's used her body quite a lot because she's been quite athletic. But there's a whole other thing. She has a lot of delicate emotional rapport with all of life, and at times feels very unsupported. So we're joining the team as they work with her knees. My understanding is, and gosh knows, you never know with healing, there's magic and there isn't magic, so who knows, but it looks like they're building a beautiful restructuring bone, but it's etheric. So we're doing that, and they're putting little it's very interesting to me because they're putting interesting lights in various parts, in behind the meniscus and at the very bottom of the muscle that runs up the thigh. There's a number of places, and they're putting these green kind of like pads of light in there. And on the other hand, what it is for any of you who are working on healing in any part of the body, what they're building is a very strong vibrational presence of that which has been destroyed. And I'll keep adding to it in my own time, and maybe you can keep adding to it as well. There we go. Now, okay, that's very nice. And then we're asking for a calmness, because you understand if we're doing a physical structure like that, but we know there's a feeling not particularly held up by the society or by life. Lots of rejection, you know what your own history is when you think about the ways we've stored our rejections and so on. So then we want to move to her head, and the healing team is working with both of her temporal lobes and right into the center of the brain where a lot of the trauma is. That's it. That's right. And if my friend is listening, I hope she can feel it. If she's not listening, I'm going to ask her tomorrow if she felt it. There we are. Ooh, that's good. Now we're going to keep that going. So wrap that in light. Move it over to the side. Just keep it full of light. and keep the team is happy to keep working on that. Now our team is going to replicate themselves around a fresh table. And this one is a younger woman who's hurt her hand, her arm. She tends to be very, very finely built and finely skinned, but she hurt her arm being athletic, so it's not like she's so fine she can't do that. And she's having some horrible problems with her right wrist, and it's messing up her working world, and she's a single mom. So we're asking for support for her, and they're showing. There we are. Oof, she's stubborn, that girl. There you go. There you go. They're just working on it. And you know what's interesting about her? It's with the right wrist and hand sort of area, and she had surgery and everything. But what's interesting about her, they're saying it stems from the chest and the stomach. It stems from a deep heart feeling, a disappointment, an inability. There we are. That's it. An inability to feel confident and secure, even though she has the words, the intellect, and is very much an intuitive. She hasn't burst into the intuitive yet. So I feel this, that they're saying that her wrist, her broken wrist, is a real message to her that she can't reach for life the way she's been doing it. Remember at the beginning we're talking about how many people are being disrupted from the way they hold on to security and a life design the way they thought it was supposed to be. And it's like people are being, I would say prompted or jarred out of their lethargy, being awakened to find more about who they really are. So bless my friend here, my young friend, wrap her in light and move her over to the right. Who are you talking to? Because it'd be wonderful to hear who you're talking to. Now I see a little person who's got, oh my goodness. We have here a young boy, and he's got some awful bone stuff going on in his spine. This is somebody I don't know, and he's in a lot of pain, and he has a lot of head problems, head trauma, and they're working on him. And there's a thing about him that's really interesting. They're saying, it's a part of his soul journey. He's come in with this affliction really to help his mom. It seems more that it's helping her become compassionate and drop some of her own controls about what life is supposed to be. And she truly loves her son, and he's just in a lot of pain all the time, this young boy. But he's got a heart. He's got a very amazing wizard-like understanding of love, compassion, and his spiritual journey. So he's teaching his people a lot. But our interest in this tonight, besides appreciating who he is and the fact that everybody in your life has something that they can trigger as an awakening in you, he's doing a huge job for all the people in his world. Let's see if we can reduce some of his pain, at least for now. Yeah. Yeah, he's stretched out just a little. He walks, but he can't walk very well. There we go. I know we made him feel better, so let's wrap that in light and move it over to the side. And now let's do our political one. Wow, where do we start? I guess it looks like the NSA is a good place. What do you think, Bob? So we're bringing the whole NSA into our table. Now these are magical tables of the magical team, and we're asking our magical team to please bring in their realms and realms and realms of teams that they've got around each one of them. Each of them has a team, has a team, has a team, right? Okay, and now we're bringing in the whole thing about global security and how it's emanated from here with the NSA and how many countries are mad at the USA because of the NSA. And the fact that, what is it I heard on the radio today? You don't go spying on your friends. But bottom line, it's a really big revelation. So we've got Mr. Snowden to thank for revealing that. And the NSA is actually building more and more abilities to peekaboo at what we're saying. So we got to pray for them, right? Let's bring in more and more energy from our healing team, and let's bring it into the beings who are in charge, who are creating and designing. Guy, the security issues. All right. And the peeking, the looking, the recording, the using, the prying. Okay. So we're bringing light in so that they will have a little more consciousness. We're just going to push light up through, or the team is moving light up through their base chakras, through their belly. It seems like a lot of their intentions are in the second chakra. Good. Yeah. And for some of them, it's kind of a big game or a big goal. We want them to awaken. Talk about awakening. Mass awakening. We want them to awaken to a more respectful and understanding that humans, all of life, the earth plane and the animals and the birds, the humans, all have an amazing magical quality, a whisper of wisdom that could go round and round the world. We want to wake them up to that. Wake up. The potential is only just, the surface is just being scratched. Good. A little bit more. Gentle waves of waking up going through them all. And now, let's call in, I don't know how we'll do this. Let's just wrap them in a huge, huge, like a womb of this amazing light of consciousness. Let's wrap them in a diksha. A diksha is an energy transmission from a higher source, you know. Let's wrap them in that, hey? Let them stew in ecstasy. Not the kind you buy at a rave, you know what I mean? So wrap them in light and move them to the sides. And now reach up with your mind and your heart and let's call in those beautiful transformative energies. You can direct them through yourself. Wow, they're beautiful. And we're getting here that salmon-y, radiant, pinky color coming in through the top of the head. That's it. And coming down, whirling through your neck, down your shoulders, your hands, and out your hands. And then I want you to send that light anywhere you know there's pain and suffering. But more than that, anywhere you know there's limitation and the ability to become divinely inspired. So we're going to take these hands of ours that are radiating. Can you feel it radiating off your hands? I can sure see it. And we're going to pat various parts of the earth where there's been pain and destruction, war, greed, oh my goodness, corruption. I kind of got to love the corruption because that's the only way to calm down its myriad of reactions. Hey, okay? There we go. And then we're just going to move it round and round and round the earth so that that big skin that keeps people walking with hunched shoulders or however you perceive the limitation. Yeah, that's it. And we're going to wrap it round and round so that that gets to be infused with a very transformative light. And the wake-up call is received. Move it round and round where the global ice is melting, where the whatever is going on with the global warming, which doesn't exist, so they say, you know, where the destruction and the fracking and the evil deeds of short thinking. That's it. That's it. And the terrible sicknesses on people and the oppressions. Right, wrap it around and around and have it come back up your hands, up your arms, and move into your heart. And around in your heart, shoot up through your neck and out through the top of your head. Back out into the great central sun. And let it pop back down through the top of your head, shoot through your body, and go into the core of the earth. Good. Now turn around and close off the Galactic Healing Center. Zip! Zippity-doo-dah! And into your star. Spin and spin and spin. And here you are again. And we already have a caller, and I'm really glad. Hi, you're on the air, and I'm glad you are. Join me.
Hi, how are you?
I'm really good. How are you?
Okay. I was wondering if you could tell me that me and my father have been in a fight for, I guess, the past 2 months. He's not speaking to me. If you could tell me anything on it.
Yeah, but we've talked before. Has it not changed a bit? Because he looks really stubborn, like he's stuck still, is he?
Yeah, not changed a bit.
Isn't that amazing? Okay, let's see. I think what's happening, are you doing any kind of great metaphysical wonder work with him?
No.
Well, get to work, girl. Because what he's doing is holding on, feeling victimized in truth, because I believe it's his wife.
Yeah.
Right? And is he...
Yeah.
She doesn't like you, is that what you told me before?
Yeah.
Because here's what he's thinking inside is, God, I mean, she's just trying to wreck my marriage. And I don't think that's true, although I don't think you particularly enjoy her, right?
No. That's what we fought over. I've talked to him for years about her, and he's always agree with me and never told anyone our discussions, and then all of a sudden he went back and I guess told her, and after 20 years all of a sudden he's mad.
Well, how old is he now?
78.
Yeah, see, I think he's too, what I mean is it's like he's trapped and he can't do anything about it, and she's got him convinced that everything that you and he have talked about is just to break them up. And he's too old to break up. I can barely talk when I'm him because he can't handle the idea. So he's just freezing. It's unfortunate for him because he's kind of frozen in place. He's stuck. He's really stuck. And if I were you, I'd stick him in star tetrahedrons on a regular basis and spin him.
You would do what?
Were you listening to the meditation?
No.
Okay. Well, if you use that style on him, you could really help him thaw. But the bottom line is you're very, very intuitive. Do you know that?
No, I didn't know that.
Well, there's a wake-up coming for you. This whole show today is all about waking up, and there's a wake-up coming for you. And in that wake-up, you're going to find that you're quite compassionate. You're going to release him. You're going to release her. You're going to keep waking up to more and more of your own spiritual journey. And he will thaw. Because when everybody's holding a rigid position, and this has been a problem for a few years, then there is no change. Everybody's locked. But I don't see that I don't think it's possible for you to be locked any longer. You're going to start waking up. And that's going to help you a lot. Breathe, meditate, and we have another caller. Does that help a little bit?
Yeah, I was just wondering why he even went back and told her after all these years.
Because he was distressed. He gets very distressed these days. He gets anxiety. Did you know that?
No.
And I think he thought, and I know I have another caller, and I'll get to you in a few minutes, okay? If you'll just hold on. I think he knows that he had to do something. Because you and he have been talking about this for quite a while. And he's let himself remain victimized. So he thought he would get some kind of resolution by talking to her about it. And all it's done is frozen everything. You know?
Okay.
He just relented and started talking to her. Because in his way, he loves her, but I think he's a very good example of somebody who's in a relationship for security.
Yeah. Do you have any idea when we might make up?
I think you have to let it go right now and make up with yourself and start waking up. And I think the faster you get to work on that process, the faster it'll be that you and he can communicate again. He will feel a shift in you. He's very sad right now. He's sad about it all, and he's kind of frozen. That seems like it's contradictory. It's like he's holding a position in a stubborn way, but inside he's quite sad about it.
Okay.
So keep us posted.
Okay, thank you.
All right, honey. Get meditating.
Okay. Bye-bye. Thank you.
Bye now. Okay. So, hello. You're on the air.
Hey, Veronica. It's Lisa.
Hi, Lisa. How are you doing, honey?
I'm good. I just have a quick question and an update. My dog is doing so much better. I don't know if you remember, I called you like 2 weeks ago and I thought my dog was going to die.
And I told you about Herb, right?
Say that again?
No, go ahead. What did you find out?
She had a dental disease that led to a kidney infection, which led to like some weird brain things happening. She was bumping into walls and had a seizure. We gave her some antibiotics and she's suddenly back to herself. Thank goodness.
Oh my goodness. Isn't that interesting?
So
because, you know, when older people get a urinary tract infection, their brain goes completely crazy.
It's the blood. That's what I learned. I did a lot of research and found out it's the bloodstream that was infected and eventually affecting other organs. Yeah.
Wow. Well, and of course, a quarter of your blood is in your... What's that?
I was just saying I'm now going to the doctor tomorrow to check my bloodstream. I think that I have something going on too.
Well, but that would make sense. Well, keep us posted, Lisa.
Yeah, but I did want to ask one quick question because my work has been slowing down, and I know that you've told me before that I'm going to move and going to travel, but right now everything just seems like it's at a standstill, and I'm wondering if you could see it moving anytime soon.
I keep seeing you moving east, right?
Yeah, you said that.
But it's interesting because where you are, it's very slushy right now. People are very worried about money, aren't they?
Well, aren't they everywhere?
but if you look all over the earth, there are certain pockets where they'll be generating money all of a sudden. And yours is slowing down, but then it's picking up speed. So I would say within a couple of months anyway, you'll know. Well, I'm not very good with time because it's really hard. I mean, you got all these people creating with their minds and hearts.
Yeah, I understand.
But anyway, keep going, and I have another call, so I better take her.
Okay, thank you.
Blessings to you, and God for your dog.
Okay.
Alright. So hello, we have another caller and you're on the air.
Hello, I think it's me.
Hi, that's you, alright. How are
okay.
you?
Okay. hi, my name is Kelly.
Hi Kelly, I'm glad you called.
Thank you, I'm excited. I've been listening to your show for the first time today and it's wonderful.
Oh, I'm so glad you tuned in. We're glad to have you here.
Thanks. I'm just calling, and I was loving your show so much, and I just felt inspired to call in that my question is actually, I've been going through a really big transformation, and I'm kind of echoing. Am I echoing on your end?
You are, but I can still hear you, but yeah, it sounds really weird. It sounds like it's Halloween.
I know, I don't know what that, okay, I just walked outside, so it seems better. Anyways, I've been through a really big transformation. It feels like it was like about 3 or 4 years worth of just constant evolving and shifting and changing and growing and all that. And now I really feel like I'm coming out of it and then all doors are open. And I was just wondering if you could really look at that.
What kind of work do you do? Because your phone just faded out, so I missed the last part.
Oh, okay. I actually do intuitive work, too.
Oh, good. Okay. Because I want to say you're going to wake up intuitively, so you've come a whole new level. A whole new level, my friend. And it's... And I think... Are you single? Because there's a whole thing about a male here. Are you single?
Nope. I've been married for almost 12 years.
Are you happily married?
I am.
Okay, so here's the deal. No, I'm not saying you're breaking up. I'm just saying that his impact on you is also going to go up over the next little while. there's something about you and your husband who are going to do, it's like, is he also trying to improve in his job or something? Because it's like, both of you move up. He's going to do a lot better in his work dream, you know, not just his work, but what he dreams of doing. And you're both in it together, and I find it really quite a strong time. And he's happier. He turns around in his position, so it's like he takes a different point of view on life. That makes you happier, too. It makes you more courageous about doing your thing. Do you dance as well?
Oh, it's funny you say that. I actually just said I wanted to, I do love to dance, but I haven't danced in a really long time. That's one of my untapped potentials, and I just want to go take some dance classes just because I feel like, I really feel like just exploring all these different options and, you know, world that are open to me. So I just said that 2 days ago. I'm going to go take dance classes.
Well, I think what's good about it is that it wakens. See, you're already an intuitive, but you're going to wake up, and you're going to be more and more. But dancing seems to be a great key to it for you. Not that you have to become a dancer. It's not that. It's just that the spirals and how they move when you move your body with music is really going to help your intuitive self. And are you writing a book yet? Because there's a whole written thing, and there's, you know, your husband's job is going to change, but you have... somehow when he's stronger even more than he's been, you get stronger about being more creative. Does that make sense to you?
Well, I am the entrepreneur spirit, you know, the entrepreneur spirit, and I own my own business, and I do lots of creative stuff, and I have some things published, and, you know, I really am doing my work, and I'm fully out there, so. And he's kind of a stable guy. He's a stable guy. While I'm building, you know, I don't know how to explain it, but you know, I'm following my spirit, my truth, my heart, and he kind of makes sure that there's food on the table. He's a stable guy.
I like that. That's really good for you because it gives you a lot more courage, doesn't it? Or it lets you really go out there and do your thing. Because you've got some more writing coming, just the dancing and the writing, but there's something you're going to do in a presentation style. It's very different. So I'm just really excited about you, and I just want to say that you're waking up more and more.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much for taking my call, and I really enjoy your show.
Thank you, sweetie. Call again. We'd love to hear from you.
Okay, thanks. Bye.
Goodbye. Now we have another caller. Isn't that delightful? Hello, you're on the air. Thank you for waiting.
Ronnie, hi.
Hi.
It's Nadia.
Hi, Nadia. How are you? Nadia from Canada.
Hi. Yes. I'm good. My wrist is getting better.
The exercises are good.
And doing some career decision making. And you're talking about awakening. And here I meet this man who wants to join forces. And, of course, I'm still... in a relationship, and yet he seems to be saying the things that my heart has been calling, like a bigger life.
What about your relationship now? You want out anyway, do you?
I have for some time, but I don't want to be cruel. and I want to be practical, but a roof over my head, but I'm a little bit confused, and yet my heart is leading me in this direction.
Tell me about your work, because it seems like your decision is going to have a lot to do. It's not exactly like the last woman who called, but it's like there's something to do with these men and the work changes you're going to make that are going to really help you lead your way into what's more of an awakening for you. You can't just do it for the man. It has to be a part of your coming into your work, if you know what I mean. I don't mean you have to separate from either of them or both of them. I mean, you need to find there's a deepening. You're a good meditator. Are you a good meditator these days? I know you are sometimes, Nadia.
I am, and I still need to be more diligent and more regular about it.
But you know, when we're talking,
it does help. Yes.
When we're talking about waking up, one of the things that we have to do, as you know, is clear, 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 clear. And meditation is a great way to have a real clearing in the mind. You know, I also want you to do some breathing techniques because there's a rising. I think you're going to go back into, and I suspect you're going to go with this new guy, and you're going to go back into a whole meditation style and teaching classes and stuff that really comes from your inner. And that's when you're going to be happier again.
I want to teach again, do healing work again. That's where my heart is. I just need to find people who will pay me to do it. You know, practically.
Now, is this new fellow, is he, like the last woman said, her husband is very stable, which helps a lot, doesn't it?
Well, he's going through changes too, and that's how I met him in the career decision making classes. But he seems to have a very focused approach. He's going to go into a course. He seems to get things done. He's got means. He's changing, and he's saying, well, look, we're both sort of going through similar things at a similar time, and he's saying maybe this is time for him to move and look for a place for us. And I'm going, whoa, that's awfully soon. And yet, you know, I don't want to just dig my heels in and miss an opportunity. But I know I've got to get my work going.
But here,
so
we're saying
together
to you,
would be great.
And what?
Sorry. Together would be great. And he's saying maybe we should join forces to build our fortune.
I think that's a really good idea, but it seems that the one thing that the guides keep saying is make sure what you're putting, when you're putting your head together, you're carrying your own specific journey in there. Don't get caught
right.
in what his journey is, because you've done that before, and it just, you're too, and this is for everybody at home to be thinking about, you're far too empathic to do that. We're talking about waking up to our true nature. And when we're really empathic and we really take on other people, especially when we're intimate with them and so on, it's really easy to start moving in someone else's direction. And that's a problem for you because you're more empathic than a lot of people. Everybody's empathic, but you take on people more than some people do, if you know what I mean.
I do. So put my journey first.
Yep. And I always tease people, they say, it's not all about you, you know, and I go, well, yeah, actually it is.
Well,
it's me first or I don't have anything. What's that?
Exactly. He's saying, take care of myself first, he's saying, and in the decisions I have to make. So that's good. And yes, it's distracting, and I want to make sure I am true to myself.
Yes, you have to be, because that's where you're going to get that light that's pushing up in you that wants to express into the world. It'll only come up if you nurture it. And I have one more call, Nadia, so thank you for your call,
honey,
and then I'll have to say goodbye.
Thank you so much.
See you soon. Bye.
Okay, thanks.
Hello, we have another caller. You're welcome to speak.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi, Ronnie. This is Cheryl calling from Hawaii.
Oh, Cheryl, how wonderful to hear from you. It's been a lot of years.
Thank you. Hello?
Yeah, go ahead.
Whoa. Sounds like we're in outer space. Are you still there?
I sure am.
Okay, good. It sounds like there's a lot of talk about livelihood, so I thought I would chime in, and because I'm certainly wondering what you might see ahead for me. I'm looking for something wonderful to put my energy into.
Are you still doing massage and healing work?
Not so much. No, I'm not really.
Well, I'm seeing two things, Cheryl. I'm seeing more travel, for heaven's sakes, and something about gathering people around. Were you taking people on tours at one point? Because I'm seeing gathering people around certain subjects, and is that an interest of yours?
Yes, it is. It is. I have done that.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's an aspect of it coming together again there in Hawaii for you, and it's going to take you to places like, I don't know, Central America. I don't know, the very interesting places. And you're a bit of an entrepreneur yourself, my friend.
Well, thanks, Thanks for the vote of confidence. Appreciate it.
Would you agree?
I'd like to think so. Yeah, mm-hmm. I'd like to think so. I'm ready to do something. And there's this big feeling like, well, what? And I don't know what it is.
Well, I think that you're going to find something happening soon where you're going to be drawn into a discussion with a group of people. And that seems to be what's coming up for you, is something to do with gathering people. I think there's a service component to it. Is if you gather people to get people empowered, and it includes some travel. And I think you're going to find it through connections with the people that are already around you.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, it's very nice.
Lovely. That's lovely.
I expect you to report.
I'll be happy to. Looking forward
to it. And I have to say goodbye because it's time to hang up probably.
Aloha. Thank you for everything. You're wonderful.
Oh, you are too. Bless your heart. Let us know what happens, honey.
All right, sweetie. Bye.
All right. Bye. This is Veronica Entwistle saying thank you so much for listening to Radiance by Design. And any of you can make it to Vancouver the first weekend in November, I'm going to be at the Body, Soul, and Spirit Expo there at the PNE. I'm giving a talk on Friday night, and I have a booth, 314, for the rest of the weekend. Come on in, and we'll meet in person. And I'm not sure who my paradigm shifter is for Tuesday night, but I know if you check my website, veronicaentwistle.com, get yourself on my mailing list, then you'll be able to hear what's going on. Also, it's got an Ask Veronica button on it, and you can throw in your ideas about great guests, people that you want to hear on Paradigm Shifters on Tuesday nights. I love it so much, getting even feedback, even criticism, although I'm not crazy about criticism, are you? So email me, say hi, and thank you so much for all your calls tonight. Remember, we're getting a lot of help from the universes, from the rising fields and frequency, from the avatars and other healers sending great healing lights around the planet. You're growing, I'm growing. Change can be your best friend. So thank you so much for listening. I love you all. Many, many blessings. Good night.